If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as had been told them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your great love. You told our first parents that you loved them by promising a Redeemer. Then you fulfilled that promise by sending your Son, Jesus, to be born in a manger, very simply, unassumingly. And because he is who he says he is, your Son, God himself, he could also graciously, mercifully take upon himself our sins, and not just our sins only, but the sins of the whole world, by his death, pay that penalty. Every sin, all sin. And through his resurrection, prove that he is exactly who he says he is, your Son, our Savior. And because of your great grace, we can respond by faith in his finished work, and know the forgiveness of sin. Rightly related once again to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. So, Father, as we celebrate his birth, the incarnation. We recognize that he is the eternal one. And the significance of his birth is swallowed up in his death, burial, resurrection on our behalf. We've come, Father, this morning as a family to celebrate his birth. Help us to stay focused on him. You, your Holy Spirit within us. That we could know the hope, the peace, the joy, the love that comes through you and through you alone. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your presence with us here this morning. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For centuries, skeptics assumed that Luke 2 and verse 1 was just one more error in a Bible, a book filled with errors. But we had the audacity to simply believe that God said what he meant what he said, and whether the history books could prove it or not, there must have been a Quirinius and there must have been a census. Not too awfully long ago, sure enough, other ancient parchments, still not sufficient proof to some that this book is all true, but what do you know? There really was a Quirinius, and he really did need a census, because he needed to know how many there were to know how many shekels should be coming in. And so that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he did. You must all report to your hometown, your city of origin, so we can count you all. And Joseph and Mary both traced their lineage back to David. And so they needed to go to Bethlehem. Now, folks who know a whole lot more about this than I do have said that it probably wasn't necessary. Because they were engaged, a much more permanent relationship than today's engagement, because they were engaged, it probably was not necessary for them to both go. Joseph could have said, I need to stay in the shop. I've got orders that need to get out. Mary could have said, I'm 9 months pregnant. I don't. And Scripture is silent. Don't know for sure. I'm thinking Joseph didn't want to travel down to Bethlehem knowing that Mary was about to give birth to their first child. Mary didn't want to travel by herself, no matter how busy Joseph was in the shop. And during a time when I'm sure tongues were wagging, fingers were pointing, they wanted to be together. And so they took off for Bethlehem together. Now, it's about 80 miles, as the crow flies, from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. But there are no roads that go as straight as apparently a crow can fly. So the distance expands from 80 to somewhere around 120, maybe 140 miles. So it's going to take a while. And they make their way. Now, some of you remember those late stages of pregnancy, and you wondered if it was safe to get in the car and drive to town. Imagine what these folks went through. They get to Bethlehem, and of course, it's full. There was no call ahead. There were no reservations that could be made. First come, first serve. And there was no room. But there's a place out back. And sure enough, Jesus is born. Probably just the three of them. Maybe, as our manger suggests, an animal or two. No other witnesses. But out on the hillsides around Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching their sheep. Bethlehem was a town, an economy, driven by the need in Jerusalem for sheep. So there were a lot. And apparently this was the time of year when many were out on those hillsides, sheep and shepherds. And I don't know if it was a clear, starlit full moon, what it was. But into that darkness, an angel makes his presence known. And these men, and probably a few women, are instantly terrified. But when you're in the presence of an angel, and it would be terrifying, if he's got good news for you, it apparently always starts this way: do not be afraid. That's good news. Do not be afraid. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. Now, I don't know. Usually shepherds were young men and women. The example that we have in the Old Testament is David, the youngest of eight, because that's who it fell to. They were faithful, they were obedient, they were courageous, but they weren't well paid. They weren't considered all that important. But an angel has come to speak just to them. That message, a Savior has been born for you. And the disciples, I was in Sunday school class this morning. Were you in Sunday school class this morning? If you were, you would have disciples on your mind. The shepherds respond in three ways. First of all, they make it personal. Verse 15 says, "Let us go." Now, you might be tempted to say, oh, well, they want to verify what the angel has said. A Savior has been born. Well, maybe we should go to Bethlehem and see if a Savior really has been born. Again, I don't want to read more into this than is here, but it interests me that in verse 12, the angel says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel assumes that they're going to want to go see this. And he gives them some very specific instructions. You go to such and such hospital, such and such room, and ask for this family. You go to a barn behind an inn, you'll find mom, dad, and a baby wrapped in cloths, appropriate for the time, and lying in a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. Someone says, well, let's go see. Let's go straight to Bethlehem then. Middle of the night. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Not let's go see if this thing did happen. Let's go see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. These simple shepherds, shepherdesses, knew they had heard from God because God had sent His messenger just to them. And, you know, we read our Bibles and it seems like there's angels everywhere and God's talking to everybody. But if you read carefully, you know, that's not right. God wasn't all, you know, at every whip stitch talking to somebody face to face. It wasn't happening. This is an unusual event that God would send an angel to tell these shepherds that Jesus has been born. And they know that, which the Lord has made known to us. Let's go see. Make it personal. Again, not let's go verify, let's go be a part of this. God has sent a Savior. He sent our Savior. Let's be a part of His welcoming committee. Having done that, then they will make it public. That they will make known what they have seen. So they hurry, they're in a hurry, they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. They get there, they see Mary, they see Joseph, maybe a cow, a donkey, a sheep, I don't know what all else, but in this manger is this baby all wrapped up. And they see it and they say, you'll never believe what happened to us tonight. We're out there, half of us are sleeping. And that's okay because the other half of us weren't. Now the Bible doesn't say that, don't go looking for it. But in the midst of this quietness, suddenly there's an angel. And he tells us that this baby's been born. And he told us where to find this baby. And we thought that meant we could come. And sure enough, God sent an angel to tell us this baby's been born. This baby must be somebody. He's our Savior. And so all who heard it, verse 18, wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Wow. Town's full, not a room to be had. A couple in the barn back behind has had a baby. All of a sudden, there are these shepherds traipsing into town and making a big deal about this baby. And everybody's saying, who seems to know anything about it, that this baby is the Savior that God, through the prophets, had promised He would send one day. Now, for most, it wasn't what they were looking for. Despite all that the prophets had said about His birth, they were looking for a king. They were looking for a general. They were looking for someone with power and significance that would free the nation. Well, that's not happening tonight. But there were others who had read carefully and knew before that this had to happen. And they're excited. And they're challenged by the testimony of these shepherds. If God sent his angel to these shepherds, and if these guys and gals really were out on the hillsides of Bethlehem and heard this message and have come all the way into town to see it for themselves, to make it personal, and now they're sharing this testimony, there may be something to this. Luke says Mary's just taken it all in. Isn't that a wonderful statement? I believe this is said twice about Mary at different times. She treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. How do you respond? Brand new mother has endured 9 months of ridicule. A healthy baby boy. No complications. And despite the carol, he did cry, because babies are supposed to cry, not in anger, not in fear, but to fill those lungs, as he was designed to do, perfectly. He's a perfect baby boy. And what I have come to believe, Mary is thinking, God is telling all these other people too. What I thought just Joseph and I knew, there are others who are sharing this great truth. If you make it personal and you make it public, quite naturally, worship will follow. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. All the way back. Now, what did that mean for them, glorifying and praising God? I'm not sure. Could have been for the older ones, for some of them. They could have been singing some of the Psalms. There are some Psalms that prophesied Jesus' birth and who he is and who he would be, what he would accomplish for Israel. And most of them didn't have Bibles, wouldn't have been able to read one if they did. So to learn these truths, they were taught them, they memorized them, and as with our children, regularly put to music, because that's a great way to remember things. So sure, they could have been singing their Psalter, but they could have also just been so consumed with this wonderful idea that God took the time to tell them, these shepherds and shepherdesses, people that were pretty well marginalized in their society, had taken the time to tell them Jesus was born. The Christ has been born. The Messiah, the Redeemer, is born. And that they were given enough information that they could go and see him. People of no significance got to go to the hospital room and see the baby. Because they were the first to know and to understand that when God would say later, I love the whole world, that it included them. The insignificant, the young ones, the powerless ones. It included them. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only unique Son, this eternal one, who would take upon himself a human body to be born as a baby, who gave his only unique Son, the only one, that whoever would believe in him, who would ever believe that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, our Savior, will have eternal life. Forgiveness of sin. When you're truly overwhelmed with that truth, worship will just spill out. You don't have to have a hymnal. You don't have to know a praise tune. You can just be overwhelmed with that simple truth. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for including me in this. Now, having said all of that, and to again quote the angel, "For to you a Savior has been born." Jesus is a Savior. He is the Savior. But at some point, he needs to become your Savior. So it does need to be personal. You do have to come to the conclusion that all you have been told about who he is and what he's done is true. And you have to make that your own. You must make your own decision. Mom and Dad can't make it for you. You're not going to get in on the faith and obedience of grandparents. Nope. You've got to make your own decision. You've got to come to the conclusion that this baby is the same one who some 33 years later will die, not for his sins, but for your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world. Because he is the sinless Son of God. So God could put on him all of those sins and be, as John called him, the Lamb of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world. And then through his resurrection, prove that everything I've told you up to this point is absolutely true. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior. But you have to respond to that grace by faith. You have to agree for yourself that that is true and it is mine. He is my Savior. When you do, you will not be able to keep it to yourself. And again, this is not something that you have to be instructed in how to do it. It will come naturally. Now, it will come differently for each of us, our personalities and so forth. But when you've come to grips with that truth that God loves you, Jesus died for you, and he is your Savior, you're going to want to tell somebody. And in the midst of that telling and realizing, there will come worship. And again, it will come naturally. It will not be something you'll have to kind of work up. It'll just spill out. And maybe you've been at this so long you don't remember that. But it would be my prayer for you that you've been living so closely to the Lord that this last week it happened. Something happened. And just kind of maybe even before you thought about it, you said, you thought, you, thank you, Lord. I know more than once this last week, I've thought to myself, man, that could have been a whole lot worse. Thank you, Lord. But forgive my carelessness. Thank you for watching out for me. That could have been a whole lot worse. More than once. And I didn't have to think about saying that. I didn't have to think about thinking that. It just spilled out. That's worship that comes from the presence, recognizing presence of God within us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truthfulness of it. Thank you for this great birth announcement. An angel telling shepherds a Savior's been born, joined by a whole choir of angels, glorifying God because of the arrival of this little one. We praise you. We remember his birth because of who he is and what he accomplished on our behalf. May that consume us this week. Yes, there will be preparations for family dinners and gifts to be exchanged, a lot of other things that are a part of this season, but may Jesus consume us. Your love for us, consume us. Your Holy Spirit within us, direct us. As your children should be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.